Welcome to Lunchtime Conversations, and with me in studio is the one and only up to here, Matthew McGee. Welcome, Matthew.
Can you believe it? I'm excited to be here today.
Well, you know, the last time you were here, we were talking about Tell Me on a Sunday, Andrew Lloyd Webber, which closes October 5th. Tell us how that show has done and how is our lovely star?
She's doing great. You know, yesterday she and I spoke for a brief moment just you know, when someone's in a show, they're so busy. Even though she, you know, she works at our company as well at Freefall Theater, she has a administrative job, but she has just been, you know, saving up her stamina and her voice this entire time, and so she she's been working really hard. So I spoke with her. She's having a great time. She's been really thrilled with the way it went. And she's actually kind of, you know, getting ready for it to close so she can, you know, rest a little bit before whatever she does next. But yeah, you know, I think apparently from what I gather, this was a record-breaking September show. So September shows in general are kind of, it's tough to sell a show in September in Florida with hurricane season, et cetera, et cetera. So, we've been really very impressed with how that's done. There's one more week to it. That's filling up really fast. And so, yeah, what a great way to start the season with a really successful show. I think it bodes well for the rest of what we have to offer.
You know, and if you have not watched Julia and Matthew's Tour de Force on their YouTube, it is just so much fun. And I know you're going to be doing a few more of those.
More to come. And we're actually getting another person is joining us, Joey Panic, who I know you've seen probably on Suncoast View on ABC 7 in Sarasota. We now have another correspondent. So yeah, more video on our YouTube page to come. We're really going to push the Freefall YouTube page.
Well, Radio St. Pete offers to sit on any meal that you're having and host that meal because it looks like rollicking good fun.
Oh no, it's always good times.
Tell us about this wonderful Freefall Sings Britpop.
You know, it's October 3rd and it is completely sold out and has been sold out for about a week now. So, yeah, the Freefall Sings shows are all sort of cultivated by our resident musical director, Michael Raby. And people might know Michael Raby in the recent Best of the Bay got Best Cabaret Curator because he creates all of our cabarets, concerts, and special events at Freefall. And he has a real, you know, great ear for music. He's a great arranger, and he puts together these shows. Past shows have been Freefall Sings Britpop, Freefall Sings Disco, Freefall Sings Ethel Merman. You know, he just picks a theme, and he rolls with it. And they sell out every single time, and this is no different. And Julia Ruffino, who's in Tell Me on a Sunday, is in that. My good friend Sarah Delbito's in that. But also we have some other local singers that jazz artists will know. So there's a lot of people involved in that, including myself. But I'm only singing one song.
What is that?
Well, people are going to say, is this a real thing? They can't believe this about me. I think sometimes, Nanette, people think I sit at home in a marabou robe listening to show tunes every day. But one of my favorite artists – always, and it was a thing, you know, you kind of had to keep secret when you were, you know, a child of the 80s. But I loved Ozzy Osbourne, from Black Sabbath even to his solo stuff. So I will be doing a little Ozzy tribute with his song, Mama, I'm Coming Home, which is one of my favorites. But most people will be like, you like Ozzy Osbourne? They wouldn't believe it. But I loved Ozzy Osbourne always. So yeah, doing a song, one song, that's all I'm going to do that night. But it's going to be a good time.
Who's going to sing Petula Clark's Downtown for me?
I think Sarah Delbito and Julia Ruffino are going to sing Downtown. And then there's a lot of other great people who are involved as well.
Well, folks, it may be sold out, but hopefully it will be reprised once again.
Oh,
so,
sure.
You know, there's some other news before we get to your directorial, not a debut, but a major, major new project that you're working on. Oz, a new musical. Tell them the this was fabulous. I saw this. It was such a great show.
How long ago was that? It was maybe like two or three summers ago, I guess. Maybe 23, I guess. It feels like our lives just go by so quickly every year.
That's why you look younger every
exactly.
time.
Exactly. But Oz, a new musical came out. It was written by Freefall Artistic Director Eric Davis, musical director Michael Raby. You can still get the cast recording. They went into a studio and did a live cast recording. Wonderful, wonderful work they did on that. But the CD, if you can believe this, Nanette, who would know a CD sold out? But the CD has sold out, so we have to do another pressing. But you can always go and find on our website or at ozthemusical.com. You can find a link to listen to it digitally. But yeah, it's a great, great cast recording and a great gift for the holidays.
So, you know, it's so funny because I've got Las Vegas on my list for the Wizard of Oz at the
Doesn't that look amazing?
Oh, it looks amazing. But, you know, now I kind of want
to. The sphere, I guess that's what it's called.
Yeah, but I want to see your version of Oz, you know, on the sphere. So let's figure out how we can make that get to them.
Yeah. So Michael's really been going to a bunch of Oz conventions. There's a huge fan base for this, as anyone knows. I mean, things like Wicked are huge, but Michael's been going to a lot of the very big Oz conventions and pushing the musical and selling CDs and being on panels. And so my hope is that there is another production in the works for Oz the Musical, and we shall see. They're certainly doing enough groundwork and legwork to make it happen.
He's an Aussie. Let's talk about Death Trap by Ira Levine, October 24th, December 7th. Michael, congratulations. And let's also talk about your Best of the Bay Award.
Oh, yeah. I think, what was it? Well, Free Fall got four, you know, nice mentions from our for critics' picks. And one of them was about our show, House of Future Memory, the one that incorporated the use of AI, which was very controversial. But they lauded us for that, which was nice. I got a nice mention for doing – it's kind of funny. I mean, I always like – the critics picks because they have a little sense of humor sometimes, and they decided to use we did a big Sondheim cabaret, Free Fall Sings Sondheim. How interesting, we go back to that theme. And I did a number from Gypsy, and I sang Some People, Mama Rose's big triumphant, you know, act one, kind of her first big song in act one, and they really enjoyed my interpretation of that. So yeah, it's that was a very nice mention. And who knows, one day maybe we'll try to throw Gypsy in somewhere. You know what I mean?
I hope so.
I still got it, you know?
Oh, baby, you still got it. Well, listen, tell us all about what the play is about and how did it come about that you're directing this?
You know, I pushed for Death Trap for many, many years. Death Trap is a classic. It is the longest running Broadway thriller of all time. It's written by Ira Levin, who, of course, wrote Rosemary's Baby and The Stepford Wives. Those are two big novels of his. And, of course, Death Trap was a huge stage hit for him. That also became a sort of beloved film with Michael Caine and Christopher Reeve playing the two lead roles. But, yeah, Death Trap was a show I've been pushing for years for Free Fall to do. I feel like we can do it justice. I feel like it's a classic. Why have we not thought about it before? But I've been kind of suggesting it for years and years, and this was the opportunity to do it. So, yeah, it's a great show about what lengths would you go to have a hit Broadway play? Would you – you know, sometimes coming up with a great money-making Broadway play can be murder, and that is the point of the whole show. A playwright down on his luck decides he and his wife decide that they may have a way to find a hit play, and it requires some nefarious and sinister doings. So, yeah, it stars Eric Davis, artistic director, Sidney Brule, Natalie Simons as his wife, Myra Brule. The great Robert Teasdale will play Clifford Anderson, the role made famous by Mr. Christopher Reeve. You know, he'll be shirtless in the show, which was a prerequisite, so he can pull that off. Not many of us can these days.
Abs are us.
Exactly. And then a good friend of ours, John Lombardi, who's not been at Free Fall in a long time. He plays Sydney's attorney, Porter Milgram. And Sarah DelBito, who is a great singer and actress here in the in Tampa Bay. She's playing Helga Tendorp, the Dutch psychic, who just might solve the whole thing. It's a great deal of fun. It's a fun show. We're running it for a very long time. It's our longest run, 7 weeks. So yeah, great stuff with Death Trap. It's a perfect show coming up already, a big hit, and we haven't even started rehearsals. So we're real excited.
Give me a little bit about your directorial chops and how this is both a challenge and an opportunity for you to once again stretch your incredible talent to another forefront.
Oh, absolutely. I love directing. I don't get to do it often, and a lot of it is that's a choice on my own. It's a very big job. Not everybody can direct. And, you know, or do it well, you know, a lot of people end up doing it, but whether they should or not is a real question. But I really have worked hard on the few productions I've directed at Free Fall are The Night Before, both when we did it 2 years in a row, I directed and wrote that. And then, of course, Miracle on 34th Street, the live musical radio play. All of my shows at Free Fall are hits. They make money. And so I knew I could probably do that again by suggesting Death Trap, which is a classic. So I'm sort of thrilled to be back in the director's chair. It's a great honor because the shows at Freefall are always very good. And for someone to entrust in you that you will do a good job directing a show it's an honor to do it. It's such a great company. So I'm thrilled about it. I'm excited. I can't wait to get started.
I can't wait to see it and celebrate you once again. So listen, you know, Kathy Najimy is loved her in San Diego, great friend. What do I do every year? I watch Hocus Pocus.
Right.
What does Freefall do? A little Hocus Pocus, a drag tribute show,
yes,
on the 29th. Tell us about this.
So on October 29th, it's a one-night-only event. It is a tribute to the classic Bette Midler film, which actually, funnily enough, when it came out, it wasn't a huge hit, but it became a cult hit on video. And now, you know, they say it's the millennials' favorite Halloween film. And so we have the great Daphne Ferraro, Catherine Nevitz, and Chichi Lalique, who are very, you know, popular drag performers right here in Tampa Bay. And they are called Tampa Bay Sanderson Sisters. And they're doing this show all over Tampa Bay. And it's going to be a fun night. They do numbers from the show. There'll be a costume contest for people with prizes. It's just going to be a lot of fun. And that show is already over half sold, and it's not until October 29th. So every day we sell more and more tickets to a little Hocus Pocus. So I would not miss that. That's also part of our tandem series.
Grab your broom, kids, and let's fly. You know, you always have something for the holiday, and you always do a little immersive magic. So a mm-hmm. Christmas Carol and concert,
yeah.
December 12th to 24th, doing it a little bit different this year.
Absolutely. You know, we were one of the first companies in Tampa Bay to do Christmas Carol as a yearly tradition. And we did it, gosh, for maybe 4 years before we decided to change up Christmas programming. With this production we'll be doing December 12th through the 24th is the version that we did when we had our drive-in theater series where people could come. And this was during, you know, we really opened back up as a theater company in the fall of 2020, if you can believe that. And we had shows that were out there where audiences could park in our parking lot, watch the shows, listen to it on our own little Freefall radio station. And it was all very safe and very fun. We ended up using a lot of multimedia in this show, a narrator that plays all the roles, and then four singers who sing all the songs. We did it last year. It was a big hit. We're bringing it back for a longer run this time.
Wonder if we could get Whoopi Goldberg to reprise her Tiny Tim that she did in San Diego for the San Diego repertoire, which unfortunately is no more.
I know. Well, there's so much of that around, you know, with the theater companies. It's a tough time for theater. It really still is. So we're happy at Freefall that we've bucked some national trends, but it's hard. It's hard to you know, get people to come to the theater like they used to. And let's not even talk about movies. Oi.
Yeah, we're going to get to – oi, that's right. And
yeah.
Speaking of which, to our friends, you know, listening, this is a beginning of the Jewish New Year, and we wish all of you a happy New Year. And may you all be inscribed in the Book of Life, and may Freefall be inscribed in the Book of Life. Okay,
yeah.
That's it, Mom. That's all I'm saying about that. So then 2026 debuts this one I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
The Greatest Love Story Never Told, himself and Nora, January 30th, March 8th, long run.
Last long run. You know, it's a play. It's a musical about the life of James Joyce and his romantic partner that he had for many years. Some label her as James Joyce's muse. It's a very romantic play. It's a very sexy play, believe it or not. And we're really excited because Jonathan Brielle, who is the person who wrote the book Music and Lyrics, he will be coming down to see the production, be part of the production as it wraps up the tech week. So we're excited to have him around for this production, which we think will be really lovely.
One of the things that Freefall does best is reimagine and repurpose history. So many different things that you've done. You did, of course, you did James Beard, which is truly one of my favorite plays and basically a one-man show that you did. What is the mission of Freefall to kind of tell these historical stories in new ways?
Well, we used to call it the American Character Series, but we found out that there's another place using that. But yeah, we've done a lot of plays about famous Americans who are everyone from James Beard, Chef James Beard, to Billie Holiday, to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, there's been so many. We've done Ira Aldridge, who was the first black Shakespearean actor in London. He also happened to be an American citizen at the time. So, yeah, we've told stories about these unique American characters, Judy Garland and End of the Rainbow. So we actually have a real history of doing that. We've also found that those shows do very well. I've always tried to tell theater companies, if you're creating a season, it's best to do plays where if they don't know the title, they certainly know who or what it's about, right? If it's right. So out there and they have no frame of reference, you're going to have a harder time selling a show. But even if the show's not a familiar title like Himself and Nora, people will want to see it because they want to know more about the life and times of James Joyce.
And who doesn't want to know more about the world of Anne Frank? And then they came for me, remembering the world of Anne Frank. This could not be more important today. You know, folks, when you hear this next week, this will be, we'll learn more about the shooting at the synagogue in Manchester. So this is going to be incredible. And I just reading it, I can't wait.
It's going to be a great show. Uses a lot of multimedia. We got a great cast of actors that we'll be announcing shortly. And we are partnering with the Holocaust Museum on a few events for And Then They Came For Me. I think Eric thought it was a really important time to do this play. You know, for many years now, I think a lot of people have noticed Free Fall kind of changed our motto to simply escape a while. And we were presenting a lot of fare that was a little more, had more audience appeal, had more, you know, people were coming and having a good time. We felt it was right for us to go back to some more serious fare, some more dramatic fare. And Then They Came For Me really fills those boxes. And plus, it was written by the playwright who wrote the James Beard play, I Love to Eat. So it's nice to have some of James Still's work back with us again.
And to hear the actual truth speaking by the former Holocaust survivors.
Absolutely. Not only will there be actors, but there will be the actual people who lived everything that they experienced during that time, and they will be interviewed as well for the show using screen. So it's a lovely play.
Well, Matthew, if you didn't have enough kudos and accolades in your back pocket, Bash of the Titans, book and lyrics by Get This Folks, ready? Drum roll, Eric Davis, Matthew McGee, and Michael Redman. There will also be a beer. Tell us about this. Is going to be a hoot.
Well, we're learning more and more about Bash the Titans because, you know, more as we progress with meetings on it, it becomes more and more fully fleshed out. But Bash the Titans will have an onstage bar. It is a spoof, a send-up of the classic 1980s film Clash of the Titans, all set to rock and roll and pop music from the 80s that people are very familiar with our own little sort of parody spin. It's going to be a lot of fun. We are looking forward to that one a lot. But yeah, we're trying to do like a signature beer. You know, it'll be a fun night out. Believe me, it'll be a great time. And I'm not really on stage much this year at all. And that will be the first time I'm heading back to the stage to play Zeus in Clash of the Titans. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm telling you, folks, I cannot wait. First of all, unleash the Kraken.
I know. Yeah, the Kraken and Pegasus, that will all be puppets designed by Eric Davis. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Puppets? We're going to have puppets?
We're going to have puppets.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Unbelievable. So, folks, we've been here talking and previewing Freefall Theater Company, the new directorial debut of, not really a debut, but you're directing the new Death Trap that is opening.
Yep.
Matthew, tell people how they can be involved in Freefall and give us the website, the social media, and they can sign up for the newsletter, which I love getting.
Absolutely. So there's numerous ways. But if you go to our website, you can find everything you need to know about how to sign up to become a volunteer, how to be on our mailing list. It's right there. You can click on it. But we're at freefalltheater.com. We're also on TikTok. We're on Facebook. We're on it's very
YouTube.
Funny. Yeah, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter, and everything else. Even Blue Sky, even though that's not really caught on very much. But we try to be out there as much as possible for people to learn more about us, and we're really trying to amp that up because I think going forward we're in an attention economy, so it's very important to get your word out there by any means necessary. So we're working harder to expand our brand in that way and be more noticed because, you know, there's still people around here who will say, I've never heard of this theater company, and some of them been around for 40 years. It's just like theater's not on everybody's radar. It's like people used to say about Tampa Bay. It's not a baseball town. Sometimes it's not a theater town either, but we do the best we can.
We are the city of the arts. Yeah. We are an arts community. We are the arts coast. So I'm going to be asking all of this because it's spooky season.
Yeah.
It's Halloween.
Yes.
So what is your best bootyful movie for Halloween, and what are you going to be watching?
Oh, my gosh. You know, the other day I recommended the movie 28 Years Later, which is on Netflix right now. And I did put that it was very gruesome and very gory, but some people took my recommendation and were very angry with me. So as far as I'm concerned about Halloween, my taste might be a little different. I'm a big horror fan. I'm very much a big horror fan. I don't mind gore. I don't mind any of that stuff, but I know that's not for everybody. So if you just want like a classic Halloween movie, you really can't go wrong with John Carpenter's Halloween. A lot of people will think, oh, a slasher film. John Carpenter's Halloween is not really that bloody at all. I mean, there's some stalking, and there's some, you know, my favorite thing in any horror film, when the young ingenue runs really fast, but Michael Myers walks very slow and he still manages to catch up. But it's still a pretty good movie. It is scary, but it's not nearly as gory as people might think. And I tell a lot of people who want to – a lot of people talk to me and go, well, about this Halloween, this Jamie Lee Curtis, all this stuff, what should I watch? Because, you know, the films were rebooted again in 2018. I say avoid any of the new films from 2018. They're not good. If you really want to watch a great trilogy of movies with Halloween, you watch Halloween, the first one, you watch Halloween 2, and then you watch H2O 20 years later. That's the reboot that was written by Kevin Williamson, who, of course, wrote Scream. So, yeah, I would say that's a great Halloween viewing. Yes, if you're squeamish about violence and stuff, yes, stick with Hocus Pocus. But if you want a really good, fun, spooky movie, I would suggest the Halloween movies or the Conjuring films, which the most recent one was very well received. They're a lot of fun, too. So there's a lot of great stuff out there to watch for Halloween.
I'm going
to
stick with Black and White, TCM, Boris Karloff,
oh, yeah,
and Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Creature from the Black Lagoon is great. I love Bride of Frankenstein. And there's a great movie that you
Elsa
can...
Elsa Lancaster?
Was it Lancaster or Lancaster? Yeah, we're close.
Elsa.
We'll have to talk to...
I love the hairdo.
I feel like Joe Rogan. We're going to talk to... What's the guy's name over there to check? Jamie? Jamie, can you check that for us? But yeah, I think it is Elsa Lancaster. But I do love that one. But there is a great film that you can find on YouTube, which is the basis for Rocky Horror Show. It's what basically lots of Rocky Horror Show is based on. It's called The Old Dark House, and it's a James Whale movie, and it features some of the great cast members from Bride of Frankenstein and The Wolfman and other movies, but it's not a well-known film. It was pre-production code, so there's some wild stuff in it, but yeah, you must check out The Old Dark House. You won't regret it. You can find it for free right there on YouTube.
Matthew McGee, we thank you so much. Freefall Theater is a community treasure. Congratulations on 4 Best of the Bay Creative Loafing Award, and we look forward to having Up to Here back in studio next month.
We'll work on it. We'll try to get everyone together. Everyone in the theater community likes to sleep in, Nanette.
Yes, not Radio St. Pete is always got their eyes open.
I wish I could get up before, but I get up every day now. 6 o'clock in the morning, it's crazy.
You have a real job.
I know.
For Radio St. Pete, it's been Up to Here with Matthew McGee.
Thanks, Nanette.